All right, so we got a really interesting request for a deep dive this time.
Yes, someone sent over a whole stack of independent audits and financial statements.
8 years' worth, to be exact.
For the Pottawatomie County Rural Water District number 3, covering from 2015 all the way up to 2023.
We're talking September 30th year ends for each of these reports.
And
Yeah, and what we really want to do is
we want to
pull out the story.
yeah, what's the financial picture?
Yeah, what's a financial picture?
What's going on with this water district, and how is it connected to the Citizen Potawatomi Nation,
Yeah, exactly.
over this whole time frame?
That's what we're digging into.
Yeah.
So to get us started, I think maybe the first thing is what is this
Yeah.
Pottawatomie County Rural Water District number 3?
Like, why does it even exist?
What does it do?
It goes back to 1997.
Okay.
It was actually established by the Pottawatomie County Commissioners.
Okay.
And the main idea was to, bring treated water to areas of the county that weren't already getting it.
So more rural area.
More rural areas where like a city or town system didn't already cover that.
Okay, so that's where it starts.
Right.
But then
Yeah.
the Citizen Potawatomi Nation gets involved.
Yeah, that's right.
How did that happen?
So in 2005, they made a pretty big move.
Okay.
They bought up all the assets of the water district, and they also crucially assumed all of its debt.
Okay.
So they basically became the owner.
They're the owner.
And from that point forward,
They're the owner operator.
they've been responsible for actually running things for the day-to-day operations.
Got it.
Yeah.
So that's how the nation got into the picture.
That's how they got into the picture.
But these audits that we're looking at,
Right.
they're specifically
They're for the district
for
itself.
the water district.
Yeah.
So how does that work then if the nation owns it?
Right. So even though the water district, it runs on its own budget
Yes.
and it keeps its own separate financial records,
Uh-huh.
when it comes to the big picture, the overall financial reporting,
Okay.
it's actually considered to be just part of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation.
So it rolls up into the nation's
It's
financials.
what's called a like a blended component unit.
I see.
So you can almost think of it like, a department
Okay.
within a big organization.
Got it.
Like, it has its own specific things it does,
Right.
but financially,
What's part of
it all gets wrapped up in the big company's financials.
the bigger picture?
Yeah.
Okay, so then who makes the decisions for this water district?
Yeah.
Is it all the nation calling the shots, or is there a separate board or something?
So it's not all dictated by the nation. There's a 7-member board of directors.
Okay.
And what's interesting here is that these directors are elected
Okay.
by the actual water users, by the district's customers.
Got it.
And those customers are considered voting members.
Okay.
And, if we look at the period that we're covering, the number of these customers actually grew, from around 3,350 in 2019 to over 1,700 by 2023.
Okay, so a decent sized group.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not insignificant.
So they have a say in who's on the board.
That's right.
Okay.
So even though the nation owns it and manages the day-to-day,
Yeah.
there's still this layer of local representation
I see.
in how things are governed.
So how does the district actually get money from these customers?
Right.
Do they pay water bills or their fees? How does that work?
Yeah, so initially, when a new customer joined, they would pay a one-time membership fee of $900.
Okay.
But things changed up in July of 2019.
Okay.
They switched over to this tiered system.
Okay.
So now the fee is based on how big your meter
So if
is.
you've got like a big old
You
meter,
got a giant
you're
meter.
paying more.
Yeah, it goes up, that original $900 all the way up to $3,500 for
Wrong
the
way.
largest meters.
Okay, so that's a big range.
And then
Yeah.
the reports also mention that these fees could be adjusted each year.
Okay.
So that's how they're bringing in money.
Yeah, they have that revenue stream.
That's right.
Okay, so now that we understand kind of how it's set up,
Yeah.
let's get into the financials.
Let's dive into the numbers.
Let's look at the trends over these 8 years.
Yeah.
Let's start with the revenue, the operating revenue.
Okay.
How much money were they bringing in?
So, as you might expect for a water district,
Right.
their main source of operating revenue is selling water
Of course.
and other utility services.
Okay.
Now, there's also a little bit coming in from other operating activities,
Okay.
but it's not a huge amount.
Right.
But when you look at their water sales revenue year after year, the thing that jumps out is how much it fluctuates.
Okay.
So, like in 2015, we see $1.2 million.
Right.
Then it jumps up to almost $1.5 million in 2016,
Okay.
and then drops back down to $1.3 million in 2019,
Wow.
and then climbs all the way back up to $1.7 million in 2021.
So up and down, up and down.
Yeah, it's not like a
Okay,
steady,
finish rent.
it's bouncing around quite a bit. And then it falls again in 2023 back down to $1.3 million. So yeah, pretty volatile.
Yeah, very volatile. So that makes you wonder about
Right.
like how many customers they have.
Are they gaining customers, losing customers?
Drought conditions.
Yeah, were there droughts, you know? That
Yeah.
would affect
Definitely affect how much water people are using.
how much they're selling.
Okay, so that's revenue. Let's talk about expenses.
Okay.
Where's the money going?
So the big things on the expense side are what they're paying to buy water
Right.
and utilities themselves,
Right.
which, you know, makes sense.
It's a major cost.
That's a major cost for any water company.
Yeah.
And then you have your regular administrative expenses.
Okay.
What's really interesting is that starting around 2018, salaries and personnel costs became a really noticeable,
Like a big chunk
like a big chunk
of their
of
expenses.
their expenses.
Were those expenses more predictable
No, not really.
than the revenue?
Not really.
Or were they also kind of
They were also jumping around quite a bit.
up and down?
Yeah, like if you just look at the water purchase costs,
Okay.
in 2018 it was down at $344,000.
Okay.
But just 2 years before that, in 2016, it was over $1.3 million.
That's
That's a
huge.
big difference.
Yeah.
And it probably reflects either changes in the price they were paying for water
Right.
or how much they needed to buy.
Right. Or a combination of the two.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And the administrative costs also varied, maybe not quite as dramatically,
Okay.
but they were still moving up and down.
Okay.
Oh,
So we've got these fluctuating revenues
yeah.
and these fluctuating expenses.
Right.
What does that mean for their overall profitability?
Right. So for most of these years, they were actually operating at a loss.
Really?
Yeah.
So despite selling water,
Yeah.
they were losing money.
They were losing money.
How is that impossible?
So they had losses in 2015, 2016,
Okay.
a pretty big loss in 2017 of $625,000, even bigger losses in 2018 and 2019,
Oh my
a
goodness.
smaller loss in 2020,
Okay.
and then another substantial loss in 2023.
So pretty much every year except for
Yeah, there's one year that's different,
Okay.
2021.
2021.
They actually had an operating income of about $77,000.
Okay, so they were in the black that year.
Yeah, just barely.
Right. But every other year,
Yeah.
it's red ink.
Reading,
So
yeah.
they're operating at a loss almost every year.
Yeah.
How are they staying afloat?
Right, so this is where the non-operating revenues come in
Sure.
and where the financial connection with the nation
Okay.
really becomes clear.
Okay.
So the main sources of this other revenue was a little bit of interest income,
Okay.
but then big contributions directly from the citizen Potawatomi Nation.
So basically, the nation was subsidizing them
It looks like it, yeah.
to cover these operating
Yeah,
shortfalls.
to keep them running.
Wow.
And we see some pretty substantial contributions,
Like how much we talk.
like $1.37 million in 2017,
Yeah.
$681,000 in 2018,
Okay.
almost $1 million in 2019,
Goodness.
another $600,000 in 2020,
Okay.
and then another $600,000 in 2023.
So pretty consistently,
Yeah, it seems like
the nation had to step in
they needed that help.
to cover the
Had
losses.
to keep the lights on, basically.
Yeah, so it's interesting because
Yeah.
like this is meant to be like a separate entity,
Right.
but financially it seems like
It's very dependent
it's very dependent
on the nation.
on the nation.
Yeah.
So how did all this affect the district's net position?
Okay, so their total net position,
Which is because
which is basically all their assets,
assets minus
your
liabilities.
minus their liability. So it's kind of like,
Their overall financial
yeah,
net.
their overall financial standing.
Yeah.
So that also bounced around a bit over the years.
Okay.
So at the end of 2015, they were in the positive,
Okay.
$250,000.
Okay.
And then it kind of trended downwards until it hit a low point at the end of 2018 of just $87,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
Getting pretty close to zero there.
getting pretty low,
Yeah.
but then it rebounds.
Go.
You know, climbs up to $268,000 by the end of 2019,
Okay.
reaches a high point at the end of 2021 of $492,000.
Interesting. So that was the 1 year that they
Right, that lines up.
had positive operating income.
Exactly.
Okay.
But then by the end of 2023, it had dropped back down again,
To allow.
$172,000.
Okay.
So,
Kind of like, yeah, a roller coaster.
yeah, very up and down.
Up and down.
And it seems like
Half right.
the nation's support is
Yeah.
what prevented a like a real
Yeah.
big decline.
A steeper decline.
Right.
Okay. But ultimately, their core business was not
generating enough profit.
Generating enough profit.
To be saved on.
Yeah. Okay. So let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
Talk about cash flow.
All right.
So we've been talking about operating income, operating loss.
But what about the actual cash?
Right. That's a really important
coming in and going out.
Distinction.
Yeah.
So if we look at the statement of cash flows,
okay,
we see that for most of these years,
mm-hmm.
from 2015 through 2020, and then again in 2023,
okay,
they actually used up cash
okay.
in their operating activities.
So what does that actually mean?
So basically what that means is
okay.
their day-to-day business of providing water
wasn't generating enough cash.
Wasn't generating enough cash to cover those day-to-day expenses.
Got it.
Again, 2021 is the exception.
Yeah, 2021, the outlier.
They had positive cash flow
okay.
from operations that year.
Okay.
But most years...
Most years they were using cash.
They were using up more than they were bringing in.
Got it. And what about their investing activities?
Okay, so investing activities were pretty consistent,
okay.
but pretty small scale.
Okay.
Mostly they were getting interest income.
Okay.
Which, as we said before, wasn't a lot of money.
Right. Wasn't moving the needle.
Yeah.
So if their core business wasn't bringing in cash.
Right.
And investing wasn't really a big factor.
Where's the cash coming from?
Where was the cash coming from?
To keep things running smoothly.
Yeah.
The answer is those non-capital financing activities, okay. which were mainly the contributions from the citizen Potawatomi Nation.
So they were basically like...
Yeah, they were filling the gap.
Covering the shortfall.
Exactly.
With their contributions.
Yeah. And we also see a big decrease in cash in 2017.
Okay.
Which the report says was due to some capital financing activities.
Yeah.
And then that big increase in cash in 2021.
Right. The outlier year.
That we talked about earlier.
Okay.
Right.
So
yeah.
clearly the nation's money
yeah.
is what was...
Keeping them afloat.
Keeping them going.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned earlier related party transactions.
Right.
So beyond just the contributions.
Yeah.
What other kinds of dealings were there?
So because of their close relationship,
uh-huh.
you know, they've got these ongoing operational and financial interactions.
Right.
One of the most consistent is
right.
all the operational and administrative support
okay.
that the citizen Potawatomi Nation provides to the district.
Okay. So things like,
yeah. like providing staff, administrative services.
Okay. So back office stuff, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. And how much was the district paying for that?
So it changed over time.
Okay.
You know, we see it around $82,000 in 2015.
Okay.
Up to almost $117,000 in 2016.
Okay. Yeah.
About $157,000 in both 2017 and 2018.
Okay.
And then interestingly, it drops way down in 2019 to just over $52,000.
Wow. So.
And even further in 2020 to under $25,000.
Big drop.
Yeah. It's a big swing.
Yeah.
And then 2021, the report only mentions employee contributions.
Okay.
Which were around $24,000. And then in 2023, it's employer contributions of about $31,000.
Sure,
that's a little unclear.
It's not totally clear.
Just from the reports, why there are these big changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need more info to figure out exactly.
Yeah. We'd have to dig deeper to understand that.
Why those swings happened.
Yeah.
So what other related party transactions?
So there were also
balances owed
back and forth
okay.
between the district and the nation.
Some money going back and forth.
Yeah, that would change year to year.
Okay.
You know, reflecting these reimbursements and other financial interactions.
Right.
And as we've talked about, the nation was often putting in funds
uh-huh.
to cover those operating deficits.
Right. To make up for the losses.
Yeah.
And it's important to note that the audits.
Yeah.
consistently point out
yeah.
that like the big capital improvement,
the big project,
the infrastructure are paid for and owned by the nation.
Right. Not the water district itself.
Okay. So the nation's handling
the big stuff,
the big expensive stuff.
Yeah.
And the water district is kind of handling the
day-to-day operations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were there any other particularly interesting?
There are a couple that stand out.
Related party transactions.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in 2020, the audit mentions that some employees of the water district were actually temporarily reassigned
okay.
to work on COVID stuff for the nation.
So they were pulled off their regular jobs.
Yeah. And the costs.
To help with the pandemic.
Yeah. And the costs for that were covered by CARES Act funding that the nation received.
So the nation's money, essentially,
yeah.
was being used to pay for these employees.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting example.
The help with COVID.
Of how their operations got even more
intertwined
during that time.
Yeah.
And then in 2021,
mm-hmm.
there's a note that the district actually transferred $300,000
okay.
back to the nation to cover operating costs.
So like a previous year. Reimbursement almost.
Yeah, kind of like settling up.
Like a true up.
Yeah.
Okay, so, interesting stuff.
Yeah, a lot going back and forth.
Let's talk about the auditors themselves.
Okay.
They're supposed to be this independent check on the finances.
Subjective view.
Yeah, so what do they have to say?
So all these audits.
About the district's controls, you know,
yeah.
Did they follow the rules, all that stuff.
These were all done according to government auditing standards.
Okay.
Which means, you know, there's a certain level of rigor
okay.
to the process.
Right.
But it's really important to understand
okay.
that in their reports,
uh-huh.
they consistently say that they don't have an opinion
on, what?
On how effective the district's internal controls were.
So what does that mean for someone listening to this?
Right.
Like, does that mean there were problems?
It doesn't necessarily mean
or they just didn't look
that they knew about big problems.
Okay.
But what they're saying is that they looked at the controls
uh-huh.
specifically to help them plan their audit.
I see.
Not to give an overall assessment.
So they weren't specifically trying to.
Right. They weren't trying to say
audit the controls.
How good or bad.
Got it.
The controls were.
Okay. So while they didn't find any huge red flags,
mm-hmm.
they also weren't saying that everything was perfect.
Right. So there could be problems.
There could be problems.
They just didn't.
But they didn't.
Find them or look for them.
Yeah, that they didn't uncover.
But there was one year where they did point out an issue, right?
Yeah. So in the 2019 audit,
okay.
they had a finding
okay.
about how the district was tracking and recording its expenses.
Okay.
And they found out that they had to make this adjusting journal entry.
Okay.
At the end of the year.
Okay.
Because expenses weren't categorized correctly.
Okay.
And it was making their monthly financials inaccurate.
So they weren't keeping good track of their spending, basically.
Yeah. So they recommended some improvements
okay.
to how they were closing out their books
okay.
and monitoring things.
Got it.
And the good news is the next year,
mm-hmm.
the 2020 audit said that the issue had been fixed.
So they took corrective action.
Yeah. They took care of it.
Okay. So that's good. Yep. Yeah.
They addressed the issue.
Yeah.
Were there any other times when the auditors said they weren't following the rules?
So consistently, they said that their testing didn't find any problems
okay.
with the district complying with laws and regs and contracts, all that stuff.
So generally a good sign.
Yeah, generally a good sign.
Okay.
But there was one thing in the 2018 audit
okay.
where they noted that the district left out
okay.
some required information.
Like what?
Specifically the management's discussion and analysis.
Okay, the MD&A?
Yeah, the MD&A.
Okay.
Which is basically a section
uh-huh.
that's supposed to explain what's going on.
To give context to the numbers?
Exactly. So they mentioned this in the report.
Okay.
But it didn't affect their overall opinion on the financials.
Okay, so they called it out.
They said, hey, you're missing this.
But it wasn't a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Okay, so looking at the audits overall.
Yeah.
It seems like there were a few things here and there.
Right.
But nothing...
No super concerning.
Yeah, no major red flags.
Okay.
Except for that one issue in 2019.
Right.
That got fixed.
That got addressed.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also worth remembering,
right.
you know, some of the other details in the notes to the financial statements.
Okay.
Like the fact that the district doesn't have to pay.
Doesn't have to pay.
Federal or state income tax.
Because
of its relationship with the nation.
Okay.
And under federal law.
I see.
And also... their cash deposits
mm-hmm.
were generally not at risk
okay.
if the bank went under.
Okay.
Except for a portion in 2021
okay.
that wasn't insured
okay.
or backed up by collateral.
Okay.
So that's what they call custodial credit risk.
Which is basically the risk that someone's holding your money
yeah, yeah.
and they can't give it back.
Yeah, exactly.
What about their employees?
Yeah. So
are they like part of the Citizen Potawatomi Nations?
Yeah.
Benefits, retire. They participate in the Citizen Potawatomi Nation Employee 401k Retirement Plan.
Okay.
And the nation or the district
okay.
provides matching contributions.
Okay.
And then
benefits wise?
The district buys commercial insurance
okay.
for most types of risk.
Uh-huh.
But for employee health,
okay.
they're covered.
They're covered by?
By the nation's self-insurance fund.
So, again, showing that close connection.
Right, that close connection yeah. between the two.
Okay, so
yeah.
the elephant in the room for this whole period
right.
is COVID.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
did COVID affect things?
Yeah, so starting with the 2019 audit,
okay.
which actually came out in 2020.
Right.
There's this note in there talking about the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay.
And how it might affect them financially.
Okay.
But they say, you know, at the time,
yeah,
it's too early.
Way too early to tell.
To really say what the impact's going to be.
Right.
But they knew it was going to be something.
They knew it was going to have an effect. And it kept getting mentioned in later audits as well.
Right, because it was ongoing.
Yeah, even a little water district isn't immune to these big global events.
Yeah, everyone was affected.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are your main takeaways after looking at all this?
So I think the biggest takeaway is just how reliant the water district is on the citizen Potawatomi Nation.
Yeah, both operationally.
Yeah, both operationally and financially.
And financially.
I mean, the nation's contributions were essential to covering those losses.
Absolutely.
And it seems like they're generally following the accounting rules.
Uh-huh.
There weren't any big compliance issues.
Right.
But, you know, those ups and downs in their performance.
Yeah.
And the fact that the auditors
didn't give a full opinion.
Didn't give a full opinion on the controls.
Yeah.
Definitely worth noting.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what else is going on.
Right. It gives us a snapshot
that we might not be seeing.
But it's not the full picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it really makes